guys you never heard of. Four to the bar, it's true. Some songs like this one, one chord would do. Some songs like this one, one chord would do. Turn to the left, turn to the right. Turn to the left, turn to the right. Tell me, what do you see? Folks getting all riled up. Not on one simple thing can they agree. Said I've been around the world a time or two, and I always hear music in the air. Some songs got complicated melodies, this one don't. This one don't.
That is Eric Bibb, his latest release, This One Don't, due out on a January of next year album, I believe, late January album called One Mississippi. Very prolific blues artist, making more good music. He released some info on that song. He said he was playing a concert, and from his perspective, kind of loads of different people in the crowd, a wide variety of people, and he wasn't playing the most like complex, crazy thing, but it was just a blues riff and everybody moving in unison inspired him to write This One Don't. We heard from Hards before that, Enemy. Again, both of those you can find write-ups on our latest Fresh Picks at kaxe.org. It's 2 minutes after 10 o'clock and you are listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji at 89.9 in Brainerd and on your smart speaker. We are people-powered radio in northern Minnesota. Join us at kaxe.org. It's the top of the hour. Let's check in on our weather forecast. Again, we do have a winter storm warning and advisory in effect throughout the area until noon on Wednesday. And that kind of in the east warning, and then to our west and in Bemidji, they have a winter advisory in effect. So it kind of moves towards Lake Superior. There's more snow expected in northeast Minnesota. 2 to 10 inches of snow possible around the area. Wind gusting up to 35 miles an hour. Slippery road conditions are expected. It's looking like 1 to 3 inches today. Snow possibly mixed with rain. We've got highs in the mid-30s. Tonight, snow could be heavy at times. Blustery, lows around 20. Tomorrow, a slight chance of snow before noon. Mostly cloudy, highs in the upper 20s. And for Thursday, for Thanksgiving, mostly cloudy skies, highs in the low 20s. Related to the holiday Thursday, our question of the week is, what are you grateful for this year? Text in 218-326-1234. And be sure to let us know what you are seeing out your window right now as far as this much-hyped-up snowstorm that is on the way. I'm currently seeing cloudy skies, 37 in Brainerd. Grand Rapids here, it's 34. Snow right now in Bemidji, a little cooler, 31. We've got, rain in the area down towards Aiken, 36 there. And again, rain in the area of parts of the Iron Range. So was expected to have a little bit of a mix. It'll cool down later on today. And as that happens is when the snow will be rolling in. If it is, this is Headwaters here on KEXE. I'm Malachi Coons. Into our second hour, got a new release from Drug Dealer and Wise Blood. These two very much both dabble in some 60s, 70s kind of pop music styles, but and they've done a lot of work together since it's a very natural fit. They just put out a new single together called Real Thing. Check it out here on KAXE.
It came in hot, like a dream that you soon forgot. Then you left me high and dry to watch it crumble. It happened fast, like our world had to tumble and crash. Seasons change and your love didn't
Echo 45, Echo 45. Echo 45. Must rush for Echo 45. Echo 45. Echo 45. Nightmares on mics on your stereo. DJ Bailey, I never know. Echo 45, Echo 45. Yes! Don't be known if you're fighting and who's for good night. You can't run with this sound, Echo 45.
Wonderful world, beautiful people. Jimmy Cliff, who passed away, I believe, late on Sunday. Been hearing tunes from him so far throughout the week. Just such beautiful tunes. That one right there, always hopeful. Like, a lot of his music kind of had an underdog edge, telling the story of the working man. Had great protest songs as well. If you have some time, check out Vietnam. Bob Dylan thought it was one of the best protest songs he had ever heard. And of course, you know, things like "The Harder They Come," "The Harder They Fall." There we go. So many good tunes. Just wanted to keep paying tribute to that reggae legend who passed away at the age of 81. Before him, we heard "Nightmares on Wax." Definitely a fan of Jimmy Cliff and a lot more rock steady ska dub music from the island of Jamaica. His new album is kind of an ode to all different types of Jamaican music, Echo 45 Sound System. We heard the title track and Wise Blood with Drug Dealer kicking off that set. Real Thing. 15 minutes after 10 o'clock, this is Headwaters here on KAXE. I'm your host, Malachi Coons. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Waiting for some snow. Depending on where you're at, you might already be seeing it, but what's on the mind today as we are getting close to Thanksgiving this Thursday. A reminder that we'd love to hear what you're thankful about in this season. Text in 218-326-1234. We've got coming up in just about 15 minutes, a conversation with Dave Simonette. He is in concert at the Rife Center in Grand Rapids this Saturday, so be ready for that. Kari spoke with the Trampled by Turtles frontman about what's been going on lately and about this show. Definitely always fun to hear from Dave. That is coming up in just a little bit. On Thursday, we're going to bring you the You Should Know Todd Snyder, a remembrance special. It is a musical and conversational tribute to the Americana legend. He passed away on November 14th at the age of 59. That'll be 9 a.m. on Thursday. And after that, Full Time Blues Radio presents Thanksgiving Blues, songs about food, family, and gratitude from new and independent blues musicians. Again, that is Thursday at 10. Lots going on. I'll give you some more info as we continue on here about different events we've got going on this week. We would like to thank the many local businesses for their steady support during this time of state and federal funding cuts. We appreciate you, business sponsors. Thank you for helping us keep People Powered Radio on the air. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor, email sponsors@kaxc.org. We receive support from Hibbing Chrysler Center, serving northern Minnesota, carrying Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram vehicles with staff available to assist on the Beltline in Hibbing or at hibbingchrysler.us. Let's go to another artist telling the stories of working class people, Lisa O'Neill, part of over the last 10 years, a very, really interesting group of Irish folk musicians who are really kind of doing a mix of traditional folk and boundary pushing stuff with groups like Lancome blanking on another one that I'm a big fan of, but a whole crowd of them that have been pushing Irish folk music, I would say, back into kind of the global spotlight. Lisa O'Neill just released this song last week, and it tells the story of a labor organizer called Mother Jones, who was an Irish immigrant to the United States herself. Check out this classic piece of folk music from Lisa O'Neill here on Headwaters.
Chicago born. She fled the Irish famine and told it like it was. Fight for the lives of children who were dying down the mines. in America by the 19th century turn. You know Mary was an angel. You know Mary came from love. She had a way.
Love each other so. misogynist.
Song is Call of the Moose. I listen to the older folks, to what they have to say. I listen to the waterfall begging for another day. And I listen to an eagle cry dying high in the sky. And I listen to the call of the moose as she lays down to die. Don't you know we gotta let him be? Don't you know, can't you see? And I listen to the man of the law, I listen to his way. And I listen to a crack of a gun, and I'm the one that had to pay. And I listen to the Ojibwe chant and to the drumming of the Cree. And I listen to the cry of the people dying of mercury. Don't you know we're gonna let them be? Don't you know, can't you see? Don't you know we're gonna let them be? Whippoorwill, the crickets are all in tune. And I listen to a dying tree and to the whistling of a loon. And I listen to a howling wolf echo throughout the night. And I listen to a bark of a seal, and he's just a buddy sight. Don't you know, you gotta let him be? Don't you know, can't you see? Don't you know, you gotta let him be? Can't you see?
Recording from Canadian First Nations singer-songwriter Willie Mitchell. That is his tune, Call of the Moose, from the Native North America compilation put out by Light in the Attic Records. I always want to play songs from that one. And so many good tunes. It's got, oh, I don't know, maybe 24, 25 songs on it total. And I could include one every show and I would never get tired of hearing it. But we had the Replacements before that with a alternate version of Androgynous, Rhino Records, another group who have always done a good job of kind of putting out interesting compilations or reissues. They took on the Let It Be 1984 Replacements album. We've got studio outtakes, some things that didn't make the album, a live album, updated versions of tunes. That one right there, of course, is a song that did make it on the album, but in a different version, which still incredible that a group of punks in 1984 threw that song on an album. Ever so important today. And Lisa O'Neill singing about Mother Jones kicked off our set of tunes here on Headwaters. We received support from Thrive Up North here on KEXC, sharing the stories of a welcoming community of people who have chosen to make Itasca County their new home, promoting all the area has to offer, including natural amenities and jobs in healthcare, manufacturing, and more. Offering an incentive package to help with your move to the area. Learn more at thriveupnorth.com. We also received support from Frame Up in downtown Grand Rapids, committed to displaying treasured goods for over 40 years, offering prints, posters, and beyond. More at frameup.com. Trampled by Turtles frontman Dave Simonette is coming through northern Minnesota this weekend, playing a show at the Rife Center in Grand Rapids on Saturday. Up next, we'll hear a conversation with Dave on all things music, and starting off with an idea that we proposed to Dave.
You are listening to a previously recorded program on KAXE KBXE.
I'll try to keep it clean for the family audience. Thanks for doing this.
Of course. Did you hear about our idea?
No, I don't think so.
You coming and DJing an hour?
Oh, to DJ?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I said that I'd love to do that.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay, if it works out, I understand. Yeah.
My whole family's coming up, so as long as you don't mind a couple like middle schoolers in there.
Heck no, that would be actually the best.
They probably think I was thinking about asking Lucy, who's actually in ninth grade now, but for a couple picks too. So she's super into music, and I think she'd think it was kind of cool.
100%.
That kind of stuff is all right with you. One, I remember maybe 2 years ago or something, last year, I was in the truck with Lucy, and I was like, I want to, you know, I get like, I want to show you some music or whatever. And I try not to push it too hard, but.
Right.
It was Beach House, their record, like Bloom, the black and white record cover or whatever. And I got like zero feedback at all. And then maybe 6 months later, she's like, oh my God, I have to play you this record. Do you know this band, Beach House? And I was like, Lucy, goddammit.
Listen to your father.
I know. I was like, so funny.
Do they give you some respect, though? I mean, they have to a little bit, more than normal.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yes, and, you know, sometimes I'm still their dad, you know? Yeah. So sometimes I feel like, oh, my God, they're just, like, coming to dad's work, and then it's embarrassing a little bit. But generally, they like being around music and being around concerts. And, you know, Jack's been helping our crew during changeover since he was like six, so he's kind of like laid back from that now that he's a teenager. But I love that experience with them for sure, and they really like it when I go on tour with like Zach or something, and then they're like, they think it's, you know, because in their school that's a really cool thing to do.
Yeah. And Lucy, is she still coming up on stage with you from time to time?
She hasn't for a bit, you know. I think when she became like in middle school, mm-hmm. she started to get a little self-conscious about that, which I understand. I would have as well.
Right.
She's an incredible singer, though, and she's grown into like, she's on stage. She does show choir and plays and musicals and stuff in school. So, and actually Jack runs lights for all the middle school plays and musicals. So they actually, you know, as much as they probably tried to avoid it, they ended up in the business too.
Was it Jack? Or I remember one time we talked and you were talking about one of your kids having perfect pitch.
No, my grandmother.
Oh, your grandma. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'll let you know. You know, she's 96 now. And,
well, she'll tell everybody.
Her musical, her fingers don't move on the violin as fast as they used to, but I got a recording of her playing, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago or something, but in her 90s. And she was, you know, she still plays piano. And when I was a kid, she gave piano lessons and violin lessons in Mankato, where I grew up. And she attempted to give me piano lessons. I didn't last very long.
Because it was your grandma, or because you just weren't interested?
No, I think that I was, I was like five, and it was hard.
Yeah.
And my parents didn't have the wherewithal to make me stick with it, which is a common, common tale.
Well, we can, I might clip some of that in if that's okay.
I figured we're already started.
Okay, we're going. All right, we're talking to Dave Simonette. He's going to be back in Grand Rapids to play the Rife Center coming up Saturday, November 29th. Thanks for making time with us again today, Dave. Last time you were through Grand Rapids, you played a ripper of a show with Dead Man Winter. And then the last time you played in Minnesota, if I'm correct, was Farm Aid in September.
Yes, with Trampled, which was quite a time.
Yes, tell me what that experience was like for you.
Yeah, it felt kind of huge, I guess, for me. I think for a whole band, you know, we're all in our 40s and now, and some of us in our early 50s, and so like we grew up when we were kids. Farm Aid was big deal. It's been a big deal ever since. You know, this was their 40th year doing it. But I remember watching footage of that, you know, in like the early 90s, and just the thought that to be able to be there with so many of my personal like musical heroes was, it seemed like unreal. Like it was, I was just waiting for a thunderstorm to come in and wipe and cancel the whole thing that day. It was so fun. Yeah. And, you know, just to, the cause is something that I really admire and was proud to be a part of. But then, you know, getting to play in front of that crowd on that stage and then getting to sit back and watch all those other amazing artists all day was quite a trip, man. It was a wonderful day. And my kids got to see Neil Young for the first time, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was, you know, honestly, one of the cooler parts besides the music was we were there early, right? Like all the bands are kind of there in the morning and they had a press conference that they held for all, like all the board members of Farm Aid, which I'll probably forget somebody, but Neil Young, Willie, Margo Price, John Mellencamp, and Dave Matthews, and there might be another one, I can't remember. And they answered questions, and then they had farmers that they've helped, like farmers that have received grants from them, come up and tell stories about the work that they've done. And it's a lot of, you know, it's all independent family farms that get money from Farm Aid, but then it was just some really, really cool stories about how that organization helps people just like very directly. And I think that in, you know, that almost might get lost in the billing, you know what I mean? Like when you're seeing all those people play, you kind of forget that so many of the crowd there too were farmers. And I thought that was just a really unique experience.
Okay. So you guys have had a really busy year this last year. You've been touring all over the place. You had this great project with Alan Sparhawk, which I want to dive into in just a minute. But what has this year of touring been for you?
You know, it's interesting because we've been now, I try not to lose count, but we've been around for almost 23 years. Each year, especially in the last 5 years or so, has felt really new. You know, we've maybe ventured into areas that we haven't before musically, not just recorded music, but like in performance. You know, for instance, this last couple of years, we did a bunch of shows with the Turnpike Troubadours and Zach Bryan. You know, music that we hadn't spent a lot of time in that world, you know, before. And it was, I think that all of us have kind of a mindset that there's a big world of music and people out there. And we really enjoy trying to find little nooks and crannies of that maybe we haven't explored fully and maybe might be a nice little, you know, extra home for us. And so I feel like we've done that a lot, which keeps it really exciting and keeps it feeling like it's, you know, that we should be doing it, I guess, in a way. It's not that it wouldn't if we weren't doing that, but I really dislike the word relevant in art. But it does have that kind of, I'm trying to think of a better word than
freshen,
that.
It freshens it up. It's like, yeah, or it like, it yeah, freshens it up the experience up. Too. Yeah.
I mean, for us to get in front of, you know, and we did Willie Nelson's Outlaw Tour this last year too. And that was another experience like that in kind of a different way. But getting in front of people that had never, not only not seen us, but really never heard of us before, at this age is kind of a blessing. It actually keeps you on your toes quite a bit too, I guess, playing.
Let's talk about the album you guys did with Alan a little bit. We had Alan up at Riverfest this year. Dave Carroll played with. It was really, really a great show from Alan, and actually something that came through for me with him performing these songs that are heartbreaking, and like the album is like, you know, brings out tears. It brings out so many emotions to the surface. But when I saw him perform these songs, there was like this joy and lightness and like playfulness in Alan. And I, you know, a lot of this is due to time, being able to, you know, process things through time, the experience of that. But in recording, you guys have such a long history with each other. And you recorded this together. What was that experience like for you as a friend, as a musician, as maybe a fan of Alan?
Yeah, Alan and me and Alan on our band go back. I mean, before we were a band, you know, when all of us were in our, you know, early 20s or whatever in Duluth, Lo was kind of everybody's biggest influence in that town. I mean, the world was so much different as far in the music business, especially where there wasn't, I mean, there was barely an internet, you know, let alone the amazing amounts of music from all over the place we're all able to listen to whenever we want now. Wasn't the case. then. And so, you know, they were the only band that I knew personally, especially, but even really knew of that, you know, locally, that had been out of town and played on, they've been on tour. Alan's music is, it still is, it always has been, really fearless artistically, which I think, you know, sometimes scares people, but it is a, it's like a songwriter coming up and having that as, you know, kind of like the big band in town. It was, we've all felt, the town felt very lucky for that, because they were not well known because they were easy to listen to, or you know, their songs are so deep and they're so beautiful, and especially back then, so slow. It was amazing watching it work, and it was kind of inspirational to us to it was like a lesson in the music world about making your art the way that you want to do it, and sometimes it not going over well is part of the art. And I talk about that like they, like people didn't like their music or something, which is not the case. They make some of the most beautiful music I've ever heard. But you got to think about that, like that band, you know, in 2000 or whatever, going on tour, and they were playing bars and stuff, you know. And so what they were doing was incredibly brave to me. I thought it was amazing. And so that was kind of like the framework in which I ran into Low. I'd heard of them, and I was working at a restaurant in town, and I remember they were having a release show for their album Trust, and I went and saw that. I'd never seen that band before, and I saw them at Sacred Heart Music Center in Duluth, which is this, for those of you that don't know, is like a decommissioned Catholic kind of cathedral. But they started the show with a friend of theirs playing the pipe organ in that church. When there's, I think there's only like two of those left in the world, the kind that's there. It's this German pipe organ. You know, and it shakes the walls. And then they started playing the song Violence. And it honestly, I mean, it's not too dramatic to say that that experience changed my life. And you know, anybody who's had like a transcendental experience at a concert knows what that feels like. But I had a thing where I was like, whoa, this is so different than anything I've heard before, and it's so powerful. And I mean, and then Alan, you know, like to get maybe back to your more towards your point, Alan is just such a, and still is, it's just such a supportive part of the music scene. For years he's taken and helped so many bands in Duluth, and he's just kind of made it one of his missions is to, you know, foster. I feel like he spends just as much time fostering other people's growth as he does working on his own. I don't remember the moment we became friends, but it's been a long time. And, it, you know, I've seen him go through a lot of change, just like the rest of us have too. And, you know, when Mim passed away, and that was pretty much the end of Low, it was heartbreaking. I won't speak about Alan's feelings on that, but for our community, our band for sure, the community in Duluth, Minnesota music, I mean, really, you name it. Yeah, I mean, he asked us to record some music together, right? And this happened maybe just a little bit, I want to say, well, the year, here, let's, I'll go back for a second. The year following Min's passing, we were on tour. We were actually doing the Willie Nelson Outlaw tour the first time we did it. And we were going to go on the road for a while. It was like that and then some other shows out west. And Dave Carroll had the idea to invite Alan along. And just to ride the bus, get out of town, you know, maybe play some music with us, whatever. So he did, and he came with us. And then he ended up sitting in with us every night. And we would do a Low song or two and then a couple of trumpet songs together. And he was playing electric guitar. And it was this really beautiful time. I mean, we had a great time having him with. He changed our show in a really cool way, especially in front of like the Willie Nelson audiences or whatever. It was kind of a fun little, you know, monkey wrench to throw in there. But it was, we had a great time playing together. And I think that's probably where the idea, his idea came from. We were going to be at Pakenham recording something else. And so Alan just came down and we tracked most of the record that came out in just one day. We just played everything live in the room. He had sent us some demos to kind of work stuff up before. And, you know, we sat in a circle in the live room in Pakenham, which is maybe the size of like a large living room, and played these songs. And man, you know, it was, everything was very fresh lyrically. If people have listened to that, you know that there's some real like airing out of some deep pain in the lyrics. And the first time I've ever cried while recording, you know, and all of us were feeling that way. And so it was very cathartic, really, really heavy experience. And I'm really happy that he ended up taking those tracks and making it into an album.
Well, and it
that
ended,
was a long answer. I'm so sorry.
No.
It's hard. I don't, you know.
There's a lot there to cover.
I've been talking about Alan a lot in the last year or so. And it's, you know, I don't know. I'm really proud of it. Really proud of that record, you know. And really honored that we got to do it with him.
What I love about the record is Alan's voice being front and center, just being so vulnerable and raw. And then the instrumentation that you guys provide along with the background vocals and everything is just channels different emotions. Like in the screaming song, Ryan's fiddle work is unbelievable and like brought tears to my eyes the first time I heard it. I think the pairing of the two of you, it is absolutely an Alan record and absolutely a Trampled record. Like, yeah. It's really the both of you living together in one place.
I love that you feel that way and that maybe that comes out to people, because that's how I feel about it, for sure. Alan's been a big influence. I mean, people maybe outside of this sphere that might not make sense for us, like in Trampled, but Low has been honestly one of our biggest influences as a band. And I don't think we don't sound anything alike, but they've always just been there and been there, like kind of reminding us, you know, to me, Low is always the coolest band in the world. You know, they did whatever they wanted. Some of the best shows I've ever seen were from that band, you know? And so it changes the way I look at stuff. And recording with Alan, you know, he produced our record Wild Animals, and working with him in, you know, more of a tactile way has changed the way that I look at music kind of continuously. And, you know, this record, it was made, I mean, there was nothing. We just sat in the room and played the songs, and every mic had every other instrument blaring in it. He sang a bunch of the stuff live, which was so fun. And it was just so comfortable, you know?
I also think though that you personally, Dave, you are also not precious with music in the way that you love to experiment. And I really appreciate that too, like with your Razor Pony EP, like how you're sort of like challenging the music system in certain ways, like with the EP that you made with Trampled and Dead Man Winner on, you know, Trampled on one side, Dead Man Winner on the other. I just feel like you're always trying to like come up with ideas that are quote unquote out of the box, maybe not the standard approach. And I think that that's really cool too. And I always admire that about you. So I feel like that comes through in you as well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Yeah. I don't know what to say to that, but no,
that's okay. So what do you, what do you have up your sleeve now? What are you working on? Are you working on anything? Are you kind of,
I am. Yeah. Okay. I've been writing, songs, which, I've talked about this a lot in my life about I always feel like it's such a struggle and not a real struggle. Like, cause I'll say that and somebody will be like, well, you know, at least you're not starving on the street. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about like not being able to feed your kids or whatever. I mean, like an artistic struggle writing, and a lot of the writers that I know go through a similar thing. And to me, it kind of works out to be a cycle where I'll get in this kind of, it's almost manic. I'll get in this writing phase, which I'm in at the moment, where I don't sleep very much. And it's like my brain's racing, and I write, in the last month or something, I've written like 5 songs. And then, which for me is a good clip, you know? Mm-hmm. For somebody like Mark Gartman or something, he'd be like, I did that yesterday, you know? But for me, that's pretty good. And I'll go through that, and then ideally a record will come out of that. And then then it's the making of the record, which is its own version of excitement. And then once that thing's done, I will go into some kind of hibernation mode where, you know, I don't want to write for a while, like songs anyway. And I'll get a, you know, get away from it. Project's kind of done, feels good, whatever. And then I'll go through the worst part of it, which is wanting to write songs again, but not being able to. And it's almost like clockwork nowadays, which is, you know, it's helpful if it comes back around, right, that you kind of start to know and witness and kind of realize the rhythm of what's happening. And it's not, you know, all is not lost, but, right. So, you know, the last year or so, I've gone through most of those stages of grief or whatever. And, but right now, yeah, writing, and then we'll see what happens after that. Yeah. But it's my favorite part of the cycle, as it should be, right? And it's as an adult, you know, it can be hard to fit in like the passionate desire to sit and write songs all day, but I've been doing the best I can, and with a lot of help from my family, thankfully. And so we'll see what happens. It's one of those things where it's like I have a bunch of ideas about where they could go, and, you know, recording that and whatever. So it's an exciting time.
So I've asked you this before, but now that you're in this process of writing these songs, are they Trampled or Dead Man Winter or Dave Simonette, or is it still to be determined what they are?
Right now they're just songs. Yeah. Okay. Nothing I want, you know, I always have like some ideas in mind, but,
are you mostly like lyric based when you're writing, or is it with the music as well?
With music. Yeah. Okay. I mean, when I write, most of the time now, and I've done it all sorts of different ways, but most of the time now, what seems to be my most natural process is I'll just sit around with a guitar or on piano or something and get like a chord progression and kind of a singing melody in my head, or I'll like sing nonsense or whatever, but just find the melody and then work on the lyrics to it. Okay. You know, and sometimes there's like a specific idea of what I want, you know, where I want the lyrics to go. Sometimes there's not. And sometimes I just start, most often than not, I just start writing, and then it kind of develops as it works. But for me, I think it's helpful to have a little framework of the song. And obviously that changes throughout the process, but the basic little framework. And then I say, okay, the phrasing for these lines I'm going to write should roughly fit into that.
Yeah.
And for me, that helps. I've written songs where it's just lyrics, but I don't think I've ever done it without some kind of melody in my head.
Yeah.
You know, like I've never written well, maybe it would be considered a poem or something like that. I mean, even that has a rhythm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but for me, I have like a little music first and then write to it.
So we always love getting your take on music. Last time you were in and through Grand Rapids, you introduced Malachi to She's Green, which is now kind of a band that's blowing up, and we're playing them on KAXE. And
okay.
You kind of, yeah, you've got a good pulse on what is happening, you know, in Minneapolis area and beyond. Who's someone that you're listening to that we should know about?
Well, I wish I would have had a little warning on this one. I'm going to go over and look here. I keep kind of a little bit of a list. I'm going to see if there's anything interesting. I don't know if I have anything right now I'm listening to from town. I feel like I've been kind of cooped up writing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I haven't been going out. I am off all social media at the moment. I mean, I don't even have an iPhone right now. So
are you going Koskinen and getting a flip phone?
He
used to be.
I won't get into his business, but I have a Substack, right, where I kind of, it's like my little journal. While I'm looking for these, I talked about it. I was just writing about it. I'm not trying to make a big deal to people like, oh my God, you know, you should get off your phone because it's evil. But I do think that,
mm-hmm.
But I don't like when people get preachy about that stuff, you know. But a while back, I don't want to like blow up my kid's spot either, but one of my kids was asking about a particular social media account and whether they could get one or not. None of mine have any of it. And I said, no, you know, which wasn't very popular. But then I thought, well, if I'm espousing on the evils of social media to my kid, you know, and it is different for a kid, but we like adults like to say that as like an excuse to scroll.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm, you know, if I'm sitting at home looking at Instagram or something, what kind of example is that? You know, it's like, if it's so bad, why am I looking at it? So I decided, well, you know, I'm just going to step back from that. I mean, obviously Trampled, I like have accounts. I haven't run them for a long time, nor do I care to, you know? And so that was easy. And then, You know, I don't know. Just like I thought, well, maybe I'll just take a break from having like the little notification box on me all the time too, and just got a phone that doesn't do that, which has been great. Nice. Yes. If anybody's interested, it's not as hard as you think. I also have like kind of always kind of leaned more towards not being in touch. So if my personality is just
that's works not that better big. That way.
Okay. So I do have a new record that I've been listening to that I've put on this thing, and the band is called Skull Crusher. It's a woman, and it's you know, it sounds like a Swedish metal band or something, but it's really not. So she's got a new record out right now, and I just started listening to it, called "And Your Song Is Like a Circle." But her record, I believe it was the one right before that. Yeah, I can't find it.
Is it Quiet the Room?
Yes. Okay. So that was like, I don't know what, if I found that record on time or if I found it late, but last year or maybe 2 years ago, that, I mean, I you know, wore that one out. So I would highly recommend that.
Yeah.
As far as Minneapolis stuff goes, I haven't got nothing right now, which is really sad. And so I would love to hear.
I was just going to say, we just got a new one in, from Under Violet. It's
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Sarah's great.
Yeah. Orchard is the new record, and it's good.
Okay. Well, that's exciting to me. I was writing that down too.
Yep.
Good. Okay. Yeah. I'm a big fan. I got to play guitar on one of their, I think it might've been the first record.
Okay.
It was a while back.
In the previous project or in the Under Violet?
That was Under Violet.
Okay.
But it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
8 or maybe 10 years ago or something like that.
Well, good to catch up with you, Dave. You're going to be coming again through the Rife on Saturday, November 29th. Tickets are on sale now. Thanks again for all your time and thoughts and conversation.
Thanks for chatting with me, Kari. Good job on that radio station. It's definitely one of the best ones around.
Thanks.
Look for more information on that conversation at kaxc.org in the next few days. Again, Dave coming to town on Saturday, and hopefully we will be getting in that kind of his radio show with family as well. Fun stuff, music interviews, new tunes, old stuff, a mix of everything. It's Headwaters here on KAXC every weekday from 9 to 11, which means we are coming up on the end of today's show. Thank you for tuning in. Stick around. World Cafe is up next. And at 1 o'clock, you will hear DJ Ironsides with some wonderful tunes from 1 to 4, hosting On the River, Sarah tonight from 7 to 10. This is 91.7 KAXC Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXC Bagley Bemidji, at 89.9 in Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are people-powered radio in northern Minnesota. Join us at kaxe.org. We do have this winter storm warning and advisory in effect around the area until noon tomorrow. 2 to 10 inches of snow possible, maybe more in northeast Minnesota. Wind gusting up to 35 miles an hour. Today's snow possibly mixed with rain, 1 to 3 inches possible. Tonight, snow could be heavy at times, blustery, lows around 20. I'm taking off. Folks, keep it right here. We got World Cafe up next on People Powered Radio, KAXE.